It's live.
Thanks very much. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the October 8, 2024 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. I'm Sharon Rice. I'm an attorney who works as a hearing examiner on contract with Thurston County and about 9 or 10 other cities and counties in Western Washington. As the county's appointed hearing examiner, I have jurisdiction to hear and to decide the two items on this morning's agenda. Here at 10 o'clock, we are considering project number 2023-104-428. This is a request for a reasonable use exception submitted by Robert and Laura Shearer. Is that correct? Shearer? Great. All right. Thank you for confirming. Some introductory explanatory information for everybody so you know how to participate. First, anyone who needs to get my attention should call me Examiner Rice or Ms. Rice. And if anyone in the meeting has requests on how they should be addressed, please let us know when you first testify. Today's virtual hearing is, of course, being conducted on Zoom and it is being recorded. Although we will have both a video and audio recording, it is the audio recording that's a required part of the legal record of this legal proceeding. And because that's true, I have a couple of requests. First, I tend to ask folks who are not testifying to keep their audio muted. And that's because that will prevent any inadvertent noise from your background from interfering with others' testimony. Also, of course, check the cell phones and whatever other phones or noise-making devices you have in your environment to make sure they are as controlled as possible so we can hear everything you have to say when it's your turn to testify. I do like to remind folks, please remember that despite this virtual format, it is a legal proceeding, and so I will be trying to conduct it with some modicum of formality. Although I'm a fairly informal person by style, please remember, just like at an in-person hearing, if we do have any interruptions, if there are audio interruptions, I will first ask the person to mute, and then if that doesn't work, ask Miss Sonia Katie, the hearing clerk, to assist me in muting people who are interrupting us by muting their audio. And if we had any intentional interruptions or obstruction of this meeting, I would ask her assistance in removing the interfering person from the meeting. In order to make sure that the audio recording of all testimony is perfectly audible, I do try to ask folks, please try to speak one at a time. Excuse me. When it is your turn and it's your first time testifying, I will ask you please to state and spell your name for the recording. And then if you are a staff or applicant representative, I will ask you please to give me the correct job title or role in the matter by which I should identify you in the findings. For the members of the public, you will also be asked to state and spell your name, but you will be asked to give us either a US mail or an email address to become a party of record. And then I will ask each person who testifies, please, to take an oath to tell the truth before you begin testifying. And pardon me in advance if I interrupt you to back up and accomplish that business before we take your testimony. A few other important things to understand about land use hearings. First, the state of Washington's appearance of fairness doctrine applies. That doctrine requires the hearing not only to actually be fair, but to appear to be fair, which is a more subjective and higher standard. To try to meet that standard, I will disclose to you now. Again, I'm not a Thurston County employee. I work on contract for this and several other governments. I don't personally have, and I don't have friends or family who own property or have financial interests that would be impacted by the outcome of either application today. And I have not had conversations with anybody, not staff, not applicant representatives, and not the public, regarding the merits of the proposals on today's agenda. And because those facts are true, I believe I'm capable of issuing impartial decisions in each application before me today. And please understand, according to that state law, anyone who thinks they have grounds to challenge my impartiality is required to raise that challenge at their first opportunity, and if you're in the meeting, that would be in your testimony today. Another important tenet of land use law: permits are not decided by how popular they are. The number of people for or against a permit is not evidence. As the county's examiner, I am charged with reviewing the record created through this proceeding to determine whether the evidence in the record succeeds in demonstrating compliance with criteria for permit approval and applicable development standards, or whether it fails to demonstrate compliance with those standards. As an examiner, I don't have authority to approve a permit where the record fails to demonstrate compliance, And conversely, I don't have authority to deny a permit where the record succeeds in demonstrating compliance. So popularity is not relevant, and your evidence, including testimony, will be relied on to the extent, will be maximally relied upon to the extent that it's, that helps me determine whether or not those criteria are satisfied. Kind of complicated, but I just try to spread the good news at every hearing so that people understand what it is I'm doing. One other land use law tenet, the burden of proof belongs to the applicant. That's a legal term, burden of proof. It simply means it's the applicant who has the obligation to provide evidence that successfully demonstrates compliance with the applicable standards. However, in Thurston County, as in most jurisdictions, we do hear from the county staff first. I think it's always been that way, and I think it's because staff tends to be more familiar with the code and also with the hearing process. So in terms of order of testimony, I will hear first from county staff and then from the applicant representatives. I do have questions queued up for both of those parties. When we're done with those presentations, I will ask Ms. Katie to help me identify any members of the public who are in the meeting who wish to provide comments. When we get there, I will ask members of the public to please raise their hands using the raise hand button. Please don't raise them now. But when we get to public comment, I'll remind you, please use the raise your hand button to let us know you'd like to testify. Ms. Katie will promote you to panelists so that you can provide testimony. And I will ask staff and applicant representatives to join me in making note of any questions or concerns that are raised in public comment. There won't be question and answer during public comment. So after everyone who wishes to provide public comment has done so, I will close that period, and then we will have responses. And they will be first from staff and last from applicant, because as the party with the burden of proof, applicant gets the last say. Other than that, things you need to know include the following. I'm required by county code to take the record under advisement and to issue a written decision within 10 business days. Heads up to the applicants, if at all possible, I'm going to ask during the housekeeping session at the end of the hearing that you extend that decision issuance period by 5 business days. Not obligated to agree to that, but I will be making that request. And one other thing that affects the decision issuance date is the following. I'm conducting virtual hearings in all the jurisdictions where I work, and in a virtual hearing, it's possible for people to try to participate, but to have technology barriers, like the power is out, Zoom corrupted and it won't work, their laptop fell in the bathtub, whatever. So because those things can happen, it is my practice in all virtual hearings to hold the record open for 2 business days to allow post-hearing written public comment from folks who had technology problems. It's limited to people who had technology problems. It's not an opportunity for additional submittals by other parties, including those who already testified. If we did receive post-hearing public comment, I would request both staff and applicant respond in writing for the record, and you will also have 2 business days. So this creates a bit of a schedule. At the end of the hearing, I'll give you those dates, so you'll know exactly when they are. And at the very end of the hearing, I will email the schedule in writing to Ms. Katie so she can share it with everybody and post it online. Other than that, I just want to acknowledge the exhibits I was provided so that I could be familiar and conduct an efficient proceeding. The first exhibit, as always, is the staff report to the examiner. And on page 9 of that staff report is a list of attachments identified as attachments A through O. I did review all of those documents and they are admitted. With that, we're ready to hear from other people. Let's go ahead and ask planning staff, please. Would you unmute, state and spell your name? Please give me your correct job title and then allow me to swear you in.
Heather Tchaikovsky, HEATHERTSCHAEKOFSKE. I'm an associate planner and biologist with community planning.
And may I swear you in? Do you swear or affirm your testimony today will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you, and go right ahead.
This is for project 2023-104-428, permit for reasonable use exception, or RUE. The owners are Robert and Laura Shearer. The applicant seeks approval of a RUE to construct additions to a single-family residence and replace the existing non-conforming garage within a Marine Conservancy shoreline riparian habitat area. The proposal includes replacement of the existing 974 square foot garage with a new garage and RV carport of 2,274 square feet. The replacement accessory structure increases impervious surface on site by approximately 1,200 square feet. There's also a 679 square foot driveway expansion for the new carport. A small addition to the east side of the house and a covered breezeway from the house to the replacement garage do not increase existing impervious surface on the site. The proposal also includes removal of one hazard tree on the marine bluff, which will be retained as a snag for habitat. See attachments D, F, and M. Access to the property is provided from 62nd Avenue Northwest, a public roadway. Concurrent lot consolidation permit review will resolve a non-conforming property line setback related to the existing and replacement garage via Project 2024-103-163, attachments L and O. Written notice of the public hearing was sent to all property owners within 500 feet of the site, and notice was published in the designated local paper on September 26, 2024, at least 10 days prior to the hearing. Attachment A. The project was determined by staff to be categorically exempt from SEPA review per WAC 197-11-800. The subject property is located within the rural portion of Thurston County. The comprehensive plan designation is residential, and the zoning district is the residential Lammerd one dwelling unit per acre district, attachment B. The residence and garage were built in 1962 per tax assessor records and are located approximately 85 feet and 121 feet, respectively, from ordinary high water. The subject property slopes to the west where it drops steeply to Elk Inlet. The property is currently under a conservation easement. Auditor file number 3636994. The property owner coordinated with Capital Land Trust to ensure the proposed improvements meet the easement agreement standards. Attachment N. The property is mapped within the Conservancy shoreline jurisdiction for Puget Sound. On-site vegetation consists of upland forest and hydrophytic wetland species. The property contains wetland, marine landslide hazard areas, Marine Conservancy shoreline, flood zone, and critical aquifer recharge areas, which are critical areas subject to the requirements of the Thurston County Critical Areas Ordinance, or CAO, Thurston County Code, or TCC 24, as well as the Shoreline Master Program for Thurston County, or SMPTR. Conservancy shorelines in Puget Sound require a marine riparian habitat area width of 250 feet, measured from the edge of ordinary high water. TCC 24.25.050. The marine landslide hazard area requires a 50-foot buffer measured from the top of slope at minimum. The ordinary high water, marine riparian habitat, and wetland have been delineated and categorized by a professional consultant. See CANDU Environmental Report dated May 21, 2024, Attachment F. The on-site wetland, Wetland A, is a Category 1 wetland based on special characteristics per the Washington Wetland Rating System. This type of wetland requires a 250-foot minimum buffer and a maximum 260-foot buffer based on habitat score per TCC 24.30.045. The proposed improvements to the property are isolated from the wetland by the existing residents, thus no wetland buffer impacts are anticipated. RUE is the procedure to review and approve expanded development within the inner marine riparian buffer. The subject property is also located within the jurisdiction of the SMPTR within Conservancy Shoreline Environment. Single family development is permitted subject to compliance with policies and regulations of the Residential Development Chapter, and the proposal meets the standards for a single family residential lot on a platted shoreline lot. The 100-foot conservancy shoreline setback is measured from the edge of ordinary high water, and the replacement garage roofline is located over 100 feet from ordinary high water. Thus, no shoreline permit review is required. Staff finds the project to be consistent with RUE criteria. The property is zoned for residential use, and replacement of the garage with a slightly larger footprint in the same area does not meet the administrative standards within the nonconforming use chapter of the CAO, TCC 24.50. Therefore, no other reasonable use of the property is permitted. The project is designed to impact areas within the existing residential use area on site, limiting impacts to native vegetation outside the residential use area. During project review, the applicant subsequently increased the mitigation to meet no net loss at a 2.03:1 ratio. Much of the property is protected via the existing conservation easement. Unavoidable impacts to the riparian habitat area will occur as a result of the configuration of the lot and the critical areas on site, which limit the location of the replacement garage to the area proposed for development. Attachments D, E, F, K, M, and N. The applicant's consultant submitted a mitigation plan, attachment F. The mitigation plan calls for planting 3,182 square feet of area in the western portion of the parcel within the wetland buffer, with Douglas fir, western red cedar, and sword fern, or giant chain fern if available, providing shade to the wetland. Invasive Himalayan blackberry and English ivy will be removed by hand within the mitigation area prior to the plantings being installed. The mitigation will occur on site. The enhancement mitigation planting plan will result in no net loss of critical area functions and values of the shoreline. The applicant will be providing a maintenance and monitoring plan for woody and herbaceous vegetation that will assure success over a 10-year period as required. As such, staff does not believe the activity will result in damage to other properties and should not threaten the health, safety, or welfare on or off the site. And the project should have little impact to critical areas, including impacts to vegetation and fish and wildlife resources. The project is designed such that there should be no substantive impacts to species of concern which require mitigation. The location and scale of existing development on surrounding properties is not listed by the applicant as a reason supporting their request. As proposed and conditioned, the application is consistent with Thurston County Comprehensive Plan. Public Health and Social Services Department has no objection to RUE approval of the application. Attachment H. Staff from Public Works Department closed their review with no comments. The Squaxin Island Tribe submitted a comment letter stating they have no concerns with the proposal. Attachment I. No public comments were submitted for the application or hearing notice. Based on this analysis, the Community Planning and Economic Development Department concludes that the proposed project, when appropriately conditioned, meets Thurston County requirements for RUE permit upon hearing examiner approval.
Thank you. Just a few questions to confirm the materials and my understanding of the department's analysis. I'm not sure. I've looked at the attachments, but I'm not that clear on the boundary line adjustment. Can you just provide a testimony explaining why that's necessary?
I believe in the course of their RUE and septic reviews, they did a survey, and that's when they determined that the existing garage was too close to the lot line, and they happen to own both properties. So they're in the process of doing a lot consolidation to resolve that.
Great. And then just for the record, confirm, please, who decides that request?
The county will be making their decision for the lot consolidation. It's an active review right now.
Thank you for that. Your testimony included the statement that the garage roofline is more than 100 feet from the ordinary high watermark, but do we have the actual proposed setback from ordinary high watermark for all improvements?
I think I was not able to find an exact setback for the proposed, and I was looking at the scale on site plan. Perhaps the applicant can provide that.
I will definitely ask the applicant that same question. Thank you. So I think that the remaining questions I have for you are about the criteria for RUE approval. There are eight. You went through and gave the headlines of your department's analysis under each one, and thank you for that. And your staff report is clear. I want to ask a few questions. the property is already residentially developed with a residence and a garage. And so for the purposes of the critical areas ordinance reasonable use criteria, isn't there already reasonable use of the property? Is it necessary to increase the use in order for there to be reasonable use of the property for the purposes of this code?
The assumption would be that being a new property owner, the increased size and garage is required for their use of the property. But again, that criteria would need to be fully demonstrated by the applicant.
Okay, so a related question. So that question kind of addresses the criteria one and two. Criterion four requires that the encroachment into the critical area be the minimum necessary to allow reasonable use. And so criterion four is sort of the same question. There's already residential use and quite a bit of residential use. You have a house, a detached structure, a stairway down to the beach. And so again, is expansion of the existing improvements necessary to allow reasonable use? I suspect you have the same answer, and I can ask the applicant those questions, but do you have anything to add on criterion four?
I think, again, it's going to be the burden of the applicant to show that the use is reasonable for their use of the property. The only thing that I would add is, if I'm not mistaken, the new structure will not be any closer to the shoreline than the existing structure. Expansion is occurring in a linear fashion. Parallel
to the shoreline.
Yes.
Thank you for that testimony. Next question for staff. The materials describe it as a detached garage, but in the plan set, the cover sheet is sheet A001, which is PDF page 5 in the plan set. It shows elevations of what it's going to look like, and it looks rather not like a garage to me. It's got a space on the ground floor, obviously for parking, but above it looks like a two-story residence. Yeah. Any thoughts about the proposed use as it applies to the reasonable use criteria?
The original application, I believe, had language for an accessory dwelling unit, and the applicant removed that aspect of the proposal. They can potentially speak to the actual usage of the garage. I know there's a bathroom, convenience bathroom.
I was gonna ask, why does a garage need a new septic system? Because a bathroom is proposed, and that's...
Yeah, and I can only speculate. In some cases, it's a studio setting, and perhaps they have a ceramic studio. I don't know.
Got it. Of course, I'm gonna ask these same questions. They'll have a chance to elucidate. Last question for you, Ms. Tchaikovsky. Are you confident that the no net loss of ecological functions criterion has been satisfied?
Yes, the expansion of the garage is primarily within an already residential used area. It's not a huge loss of existing native vegetation, and there is going to be a lift for the species within the wetland buffer that are existing there.
Due to the 2.3 to 1 mitigation
rate? Yeah.
All right. That's all I had. Anything else you want to bring to my attention, Ms. Tchaikovsky?
Not right now.
Thank you so much. I do have a representative from Environmental Health here. Let's hear your testimony. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning, Dawn Peebles. That's DawnPeebles. I'm an Environmental Health Program Manager with Thurston County Public Health and Social Services, Environmental Health Division.
Thank you so much. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Peebles, testimony for me?
Our department did review the proposal. We are reviewing a septic system application concurrently. That review was placed on hold requesting additional information. which has been resubmitted, but our staff has not been able to finalize that review in order to make a recommendation on the septic system itself. Hence the memorandum at attachment H stating no objection to the RUE, but clarifying that right now we're unable to confirm the septic system as shown on the site plan is approvable at this time. And I believe the applicant was made aware of that and has chosen to proceed at this time.
Great. This is a separate brand new on-site septic?
It is.
So there'll be two on the property?
Correct.
Okay. And you have not been able to determine whether the proposed second on-site septic meets code, but you're not raising any red flags here. And so you believe it's possible that it can.
I believe it's possible it can. We're stating we have no objection to the RUE to determine if this is feasible in order to proceed with that development.
Great. Thank you for that. Anything else you want to bring to my attention, Ms. Peebles?
Not at this time.
Thank you so much. And again, we do have a Public Works representative here. Sir, did you have anything you wanted to bring to my attention?
I do not.
Thanks for being here in case of questions. We are ready to hear from the applicants. If we could have whoever will speak first for the applicants, please go ahead, unmute, state and spell your name. Allow me to swear you in.
Chris Wills, ChrisWills.
And what's the name of the relationship to the proceeding?
I am assisting the Shears. I do some real estate development down in Southwest Washington. They're friends of mine personally and have asked me for some assistance as they realized this was quite complex.
Great. Shall I call you applicant representative?
Sure. Yes.
Thank you so much. And thanks for raising your hand. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you and go right ahead.
Yeah, just a little bit. Thank you, guys. Thank you, staff, for all the time. This is quite complex, as I already said. To your question about the septic and why two septics are needed, the functional design of the current septic in relation to the house and how it was put in there is quite challenging and would be more intrusive probably to try and accommodate getting it down there. And then once reviewed, the septic engineer also noted that directly adjacent to the existing drain field would be a suitable location, and that's where they placed the one that's under review. They have resubmitted on that. Regarding the use and the question of ADU versus garage with a second story to it, Ms. Shearer can speak to her art studio that she works in and the work that she does, and Rob can as well as far as what their planned uses are for that. But there are no questions from my end regarding anything, but those are a couple clarifications. Qualified professional CanDo Environmental is on this call if there are questions specific to the mitigation strategy and those other elements. And then last, you'll see in the attachment, I forget which one it is, the conservation easement.
Yes.
There were elements of that conservation easement not necessarily clearly defined, one being the residential use zone. And that residential use zone will be clarified through the course of the new survey boundary line removal and subsequent consolidation. And the land trust is fully supportive of this approach as it benefits both the landowner and the land trust in terms of further clarifying the use zone and ensuring that the land trust intent is met.
Great.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else here on the call for the applicants have any just high level background you can provide on how the conservation easement got imposed on the property and when?
I can do that. The dated component of it, I don't know what date it was, but there were two landowners that entered into this directly adjacent to one another. Since then, there's been some of the property by the other landowner removed. The property configuration in general has stayed the same as the underlying landowner that originally entered into it that the Shearers purchased from. That was a longstanding kind of family property that they departed from ownership in 2 years ago or 3 years ago now. The land trust is wonderful to work with. They come out annually and do their inspection, and they've been great to communicate with. And overall, I don't know, this property is, it's a unique property that's beautiful. And the Shearers, they can speak to just how important the land trust relationship has been for them and how it's gone. But it's been a pretty cool piece of property to work with them on.
Great. Just looking at the conservation easement, it's recorded in April of 2004. If anybody wants to provide any additional information about that, I could hear that now. If not, I can just take some information out of the recitals and the land trust. I just don't understand why there is one, but there is one. And so it's nice to know that it's being observed. Yes, please introduce yourself.
Hey, name is Robert Shearer, RobertShearer.
And?
Owner.
Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Great. What would you like to add on that point?
Just a little bit other detail from what we were told when we purchased the property. The previous landowners and their neighbors put their properties into the Capital Land Trust to ensure that for the future the property would be monitored and conserved, both from the shoreline view from the water and to protect the trees and the vegetation, etc. They pretty carefully, you know, articulated which part would be residential and which part would be fully protected. Exactly, one of the reasons we bought the property is because we loved that it was well protected over for the past 20 years, and we had no intentions of compromising any of that. I don't know that they had any goals other than just wanting to protect the land for all time. We have theories on why they wanted to protect it from, you know, whoever may come and develop it in the future based off of some of the neighbors cutting down a lot of their trees.
Got it.
I think they just wanted to protect the land.
Mr. Shearer, when did you purchase the property?
We bought it in 22, August of 22.
Great. Thank you for that.
Feels like.
Great. So is there anyone who wants to provide testimony that helps me understand the garage?
I can help with that one too. The current existing garage is too small for, you know, our vehicles and storage that we'd like. The roof is leaking, it's moldy, it's in pretty sad shape. So as we moved in and we needed places to, for our own personal vehicles, you know, a little bit of workout space, as you see in the design. And then also as we built out that plan, there is the above space would be serving as my workspace because I work from home many days, multiple days a week. We're currently having to work out of one of the bedrooms in the house, and it's just not very effective for my work. And for my intrusiveness on Laura's lifestyle. So I have the office above the garage, and based off the architecture and layout of the garage, there was enough space for me to have a restroom up there so I don't have to run back and forth to the house. So that was the main goal for the space above the garage storage, the garage and storage space.
Okay. And then any testimony, can you help me understand exactly what improvements are being added to the existing primary residence? I read there's a closet being added to the residence.
Yeah, we're basically there's currently a sitting room, and we're turning that sitting room into a closet slash bathroom. And then there's just a small like foot and a half bump out under the eave under the same roof line. So there's a small bump out to match and align with the bump outs that already exist. And then the only other change is then to add a egress safety windows for the bedrooms downstairs. So that's why there's no footprint change, just a bump out that is within the same roof line that's existing.
Thank you for that testimony. That helps. Can anybody on the call help me understand an accurate maximum height measurement?
In A maximum height of the garage or that, because the house hasn't changed.
Yeah, of any proposed improvements, the maximum height, just so that I can state that with accuracy in the findings.
Jen is here from our architecture team. I'm hoping Jen has that information.
Sure. Are you there? Could you unmute and let us know? It's possible they stepped away for a second.
I can tell you that at least for zoning and the shoreline master program, although they're outside the setback, it's 35 feet is right. Our max. Right. And that would be a project condition for the building permit.
Understood. I understand what the max is. I'm just trying to understand what is proposed. So now we do have the architect. Hello, could you please introduce yourself for the record?
Hi, my name is Jin. I'm with Bailey's Architects. Jin spelled as J-I-N, last name one, W-A-N.
Thank you so much, and may I swear you in? Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
I thank you. Can you tell me with accuracy what the maximum height proposed is?
Yes, the floor line of the main floor for the ADU is 101.86 feet, and the top of the ridge roof line will be 24 feet above that. So 24 feet and 9 inches to be exact. Okay. So, yeah.
24 feet, 9 inches. And what was the first number you gave?
The floor line of the main floor is 101.86 feet.
Okay. That's the elevation of the floor line.
Correct.
Perfect. Thank you. Do you know from the plans, can you confirm the accurate setback for the improvements from the ordinary high water mark? The critical areas person is offering to give me that information if you don't have it handy.
Sure.
Okay, great. Could you introduce yourself, sir?
Hi, I'm Ron Moline, owner and primary scientist at CANDU Environmental. That's R-O-N-M-E-L-I-N.
Great. And sir, do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. And can you give me the accurate setback from ordinary high water?
Yes. I measured at exactly 110 feet to the southwest corner of the garage.
Great. And between the garage and the residence I understand there's going to be a covered breezeway and the new bump out. Is any of that any closer to the ordinary high water mark, or is it all at least 110 feet?
Looking at this, I have the breezeway this is kind of blurry. The breezeway is 112 feet. Great. So a little bit farther away.
Thank you for that.
Sure.
I just like to have the exact measurements when I can for the findings, so the findings are more accurate. Sir, since you've sworn in, would you please be willing to provide testimony supporting the claim of no net loss of ecological functions and values?
Sure. So as Heather's mentioned earlier, the vegetation removal area is it's really in an area that was previously disturbed by development. Over time, it appears that a few trees have grown there. There's some ornamentals there that are also going to be disposed of. As it stands, the vegetation where it is really isn't contributing a whole lot to the environmental conditions there, other than maybe some habitat for birds. That's really about all that's going to be lost. Adding the mitigation down near the wetland, which is actually about twice as close to the ordinary high, And at the top of the slope, leading down to the beach, you're actually introducing a lot more habitat by the way of lower vegetation, which helps with stormwater runoff. And then the higher vegetation will add shade and habitat to the wetland itself. And also the there's quite a bit of English ivy growing around there, and Himalayan blackberries. So getting rid of those invasives will give it an environmental lift as well. So I think overall, I mean, we talk about, you know, square footage, but really it's kind of in a 3D playing field when you're talking about mitigation. So I would say the uplift is even more than what the actual square footage in the offset is, if you understand what I'm saying.
I do. I think you're saying that the proposed mitigation is going to provide a greater quantum of lift than the removed vegetation will impact habitat.
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
I wanted to ask the applicants, I don't know who on your team would respond to the questions, but I had asked Ms. Tchaikovsky those three questions specifically about minimum necessary and the fact that there's already residential use of the property, and isn't that enough to be reasonable use? Could somebody from the applicant team just respond to questions helping to make an argument that the proposed improvements are necessary and meet those three criteria for RUE approval?
Yeah, I'm happy to speak a little bit more. I mentioned my workspace. You know, I think from a minimum use perspective, my ability to work out of a basement bedroom has been a challenge. And so there's a piece of that is my ability to have a place to work out of, and then the place for us to, you know, park and protect our vehicles and property outside of the existing garage. So, you know, it was built in the 60s. Not necessarily designed for today's vehicles and today's, you know, storage needs.
Vehicle storage and work at home needs, basically.
Yep. There's also a space for health and wellness as a small fitness space there too.
All right. Any other testimony in support of those three criteria that speak to minimum encroachment and minimum use necessary to provide reasonable use? Anything else from anybody? Doesn't look. Yes, Mr. Will.
This is Chris. Yeah, I would just say this is more in general terms. It's really important to note that the Shearers, through their design and working with the qualified professionals that they have on their team, have been very, very, very conscientious. So much so that it's created kind of banter amongst myself and the Shearers in terms of the protection of all vegetation that they could in order to minimize that vegetation impact and design what is needed for functional use in modern day. I can say Laura could speak to this, and she's smiling because it's been quite a challenge to try and reduce and minimize and have a strong effort towards the smallest footprint that they possibly could.
Great. Did you want to add anything, Ms. Shearer? Because you did raise your hand. Please go ahead. Introduce yourself for
that. Yeah, I'm Laura Shearer, LauraSheerer.
And do you swear or affirm that your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Go right ahead.
Again, one of the reasons that we bought the property is because it provided such a conservation space where it was just natural beauty. And so when we decided that it was necessary to replace the garage, there was talk about placement of it and whether or not we should change the boundary line and everything. And the reason that we have to go through all of these things is because it is the best placement for a garage where there's so few trees to be taken down and vegetation removal. Because that is my biggest fear is removal of these trees, and some of the trees are gigantic firs and cedars, and I don't want to come anywhere close to them, and so that is my biggest concern and pain in everybody's side because of my insisting on not removing this tree, not removing that tree, not coming close to that one. That I don't know if that answers any of your questions, but that's why we are choosing to place it where we're placing it and trying to keep it as small a footprint as necessary for our needs. And also why we're not changing the footprint of the house at all because of the vegetation around the house.
Great. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Anything else from anybody on the applicant team before I call for public comments? Looks like no. All right, thank you very much. Now is the time for public comments. If there are members of the public in attendance who would like to testify on this matter, please use the raise your hand button on my screen. It's on the toolbar at the bottom of the page. Looks like there's only one attendee, and so that would be the only potential member of the public, right, Miss Katie?
That's correct.
So we're looking at you, Brian Brand. Hopefully you haven't stepped away because now is the public comment opportunity.
Brian is with actually this team.
Aha. No members of the public then. Is that correct, Miss Katie?
That's correct. There's just the Brian Brand there.
All right. Then if there is no public comment, we won't have responses, but let me just throw it out to the county staff, Ms. Tchaikovsky, Ms. Peebles, Mr. Saint, anything you want to add to the record before we adjourn? Nothing further. Great. Anything else at all from the applicant team before we adjourn?
Thank you.
Just a big thank you.
Great. Then we will close the record. Before you go away, now is when I do my little pleading routine where I ask you, please, based on the, not because this case is complicated, but because of the work in the queue in front of this case, I do need to ask for 5 additional business days if you can grant them. If you can't, I will do what I can, but if you can, it would help me make sure to be on time.
By all means, you can have, yeah, granted.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It is my, just for the county's information, it is my hope that in November you'll stop hearing these requests for extra time. Anyway, here we go. With the 5 additional days granted, this will be our post-hearing schedule. Today is October 8th, so the record is held open through October 10th for members of the public who may have had technology problems that kept them from participating to submit post-hearing written public comment. If we get none, the record will close on October 10, and the 15 business day decision deadline is October 31. If we do receive post-hearing public comments, it should be sent to Ms. Katie's email address, but it might go to Ms. Tchaikovsky, to whoever email. Please forward it to the other, and then also obviously forward it to applicant representatives as fast as possible. I would ask that somebody from staff and somebody from the applicant team respond in writing, even if all you have to say is no comment. Please do submit responses. You have 2 business days. Those responses are due on October the 14th, and that results in a 15 business decision deadline of November 11. So, and we didn't identify any other documents that I'm waiting for, so it's just going to be potential public comment and responses, if any. I will send this schedule to Ms. Katie right now. She can forward it in writing to you, and I look forward to issuing you a timely decision by either the 31st or November 4th. Thanks very much, everybody, for all your work on this case.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. We're adjourned. We can stop the